So today we're continuing our summer series that we're called Jesus Is, and every Sunday in the summer we're looking at a story from the Gospels and how that reveals Jesus or who Jesus is. And so if you've missed any of those messages so far, I encourage you to check it out online or on the Grace app. And so today we're going to go to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to discuss the story of Jesus and the demoniac. Now, any normal church, after a big day like yesterday with everybody working so hard, we'd probably come with a lighthearted message, everybody feel good and go home. This is not a normal church, right? And so I want to encourage you, Mark chapter 5, the scripture verses are there on your message notes that you can follow along, but I want to show it to you in video. Watch this.
They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." But Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed.
So what does this story tell us about Jesus? Well, here it is. Jesus is the deliverer. Aren't you glad for that? When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, he gave us the opportunity for salvation, but he did much more than that. He gave us the power to walk in freedom. Aren't you glad for the cross of Jesus Christ and the fact that it doesn't just make a way for us to have eternal life? It also makes a way for us to have freedom in this life. And that's what I want to talk about here today. We are given power over darkness and demons and anything that hindered us. In this life, we can be free. Are you ready to hear this today? There's a few principles from this story I want you to write down. And the first one is very simple, and that is demons are real. Demons are real. And in this story, in Mark chapter 5, there's an encounter that Jesus has, and the scripture says he had an evil spirit. Now, this is how we know that demons are real, because the scripture says they are. Look at the Mark chapter 5, verse 2. It says he was a man possessed by an evil spirit. And this story actually happened. It's not a parable. It's not a metaphor. The scripture says he was possessed by an evil spirit. So what are demons? Well, demons are malevolent spirit beings. They are the enemies of God and man, and their object toward us is to tempt and to accuse and to deceive and to pressure and to resist us and to oppose and to steal, to control, to afflict, to kill, and to destroy. Nothing good about demons. Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. I mean, no, that's good to be reminded every now and then, even on Facebook. You're welcome. All right. We are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, how many would agree that these evil spirits and this wickedness in heavenly places that Paul wrote about and that Jesus described, that Jesus encountered in this story, still exist in the 21st century? They do. Look at the effects of the demonically possessed man in this story. The scripture says that he cut himself with stones. He lived in the tombs, which is a cemetery, obsessed with death. There, he tore his clothes off, the scripture says, and he was violent and angry. And don't you think when we take that picture and we put it in 21st century, it looks a lot like our culture. Violence, blood, an obsession with death, nudity, cutting, self-harm. How many agree we can see the influence of the demonic in our culture? It's in music and movies and video games and novels and books and hobbies. The reality is we have many open doors to the enemy in our current culture, where we allow the evil spirits to negatively influence our lives. Now, before we go any further, I want to clarify what it is we're talking about today, because we are not talking about mental illness. Listen closely. Some mistakenly believe, you know, Pastor, what the early church called demonic activity, we now understand to be mental illness. Now, here's the good news. The good news is we know more about mental illness than we've ever known before, and sadly, too many people who have suffered from mental illness, somebody in the church said, you've got a demon. And that's wrong. Some people are just not physically well. Come on, somebody. And so we're not saying that mental illness is demonic activity, and we're not saying demonic activity is mental illness. But that doesn't change the fact that demons are real and very much alive in our culture. And we also have to remember that we are made in the image of God, aren't we? God is a trinity, three in one. We are a trinity, body, mind, and spirit. And somehow, in a mysterious way that we don't understand, all three affect each other. Now, here's my opinion. My opinion is that demons are not as spectacular as the enemy would like to make us think. They get a lot of help from Hollywood, don't they? From special effects in scaring us. Hollywood has created this scary image in our mind of demons with the poltergeist, the exorcist, the exorcism of Emily Rose. But in my experience, demons are less scary than they are ugly. Perhaps that's why the Bible calls them unclean spirits. Now, whenever I have seen demons manifested, the one thing that always stands out to me is just how ugly it is. I've encountered people with demons on missions trips, and I've also encountered them here in the United States. Many years ago, we were youth pastors at another church in North Central Indiana, and we were at a youth retreat, a retreat for students there, and probably about 75 students were there. There were a couple youth groups that came together for this retreat, and the very last service on the Saturday night of this retreat, I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me to do something a little bit different, and so the service was nearing an end, and for the altar call, I had the guys line up across from the guys, the girls line up across from the girls. And I said, I just want you to go across and I want you to hug the person and just say, God loves you. Just say, God loves you. And I want you to say that to every other guy, say it to every other guy, girl, say it to every other girl. And it was a little different. I'd never done that before, but I really felt led of the Holy Spirit to do it that way. Well, as the guys started, hugging, saying, God loves you, one young man started reacting in a very different way. And one of the other youth pastors that was there, took him aside, started praying for him. Next thing you know, he's on the ground, writhing in unnatural ways, growling and speaking and foaming at the mouth. Not your average youth retreat, is it? Now, long story short, we prayed for that young man, and he was delivered. We praise God for that. Now, in my follow-up with him, he gave his heart to the Lord. I discipled him, and I'm working with him, trying to come to terms with what had happened, what opened the door to the enemy in his life. And as I was talking to him, I found out there's a lot of anger in his life. His parents were divorced. And there was a lot of bitterness, there was a lot of anger there, and coupled with the fact that he spent a lot of time playing a particular video game whose main character was named Minion. And the only reason I say that is because while we were praying for this man to be delivered, the demon said, "My name is Minion." All I can tell you is what I saw and heard. Now, I think that tells us demons can only operate through permission. Listen closely. They enter through open doors. You see, what happens is we open the door to the enemy in our life. And what happens is the enemy does what the enemy does, right? He steals. And he kills, and he destroys. And he robs us of the things that God has given to us, our hope, our joy, and our peace. And we say, what's going on? I don't understand. Where's the peace that I once had? Where's the joy that I once had? And we pray for it, and we want it, but we just don't realize that the door has been open to darkness. So the very first thing we've got to do as followers of Jesus is, go ahead and say it. You know what I'm doing. You got to shut the door on the enemy and not let him in your life. Now, if you want to learn more about this subject, I want to encourage you to check out a book called The Bondage Breaker by Neil Anderson. This is a book I've recommended to hundreds of people over the years. And it's a book about healing, about deliverance, and specifically in these type of areas. One of the things that it asks you to do is to take a personal spiritual inventory history. You know, trying to figure out what might be some open doors in your life to demonic influences or evil influences in your life. And I've listed a few of them here and on the screen. He mentioned seances, psychics, voodoo, divination games, numerology, Freemasonry, transcendental meditation, witchcraft, Ouija boards, crystals, Qigong, astrology, trances, meditation, fortune telling, clairvoyance, drugs, dream catching, psychic surgeons, telepathy, palm reading, spells, tarot cards, Santeria, astral projection, I Ching, hypnosis, automatic writing, black magic. Now, and that's just a summary. I didn't have time to list all of them. So listen, I'm trying to encourage you. You're saying, Pastor, if we do these things, are we going to get a demon? What I'm trying to tell you is if you participate in these things, you are opening the door. And the very first part of victory is closing the door. Are demons real? Are there spiritual forces that oppose us as followers of Jesus? Now, the sad reality is that there are a lot of people in our culture that do not believe that demons are real, that there is no such thing as evil spirits or demon possession. But I want you to watch this clip and ask you, what do you think?
Care of the city's main branch and the university library, I bring you another dozen fun-filled books about the demonic, mentally deranged. Used to burn women at the stake during witch hunts for being demon-possessed. Be glad you don't have to defend those guys.
How are we doing on our medical experts?
Not good. The psychiatrist you wanted is tied up in another trial, and the neurologist is sailing to Costa Rica.
This book I'm reading is by an anthropologist. It's about contemporary cases of possession, mostly in the third world.
Of course, people there are still primitive and superstitious.
Maybe. Maybe they see possession for what it really is. Maybe we've taught ourselves not to see it. Angels and demons. God and the devil. These things either exist or they do not exist. Are we all alone in this life? Or are we not alone? Either thought is astonishing. Do I really believe that this tragedy is the work of the devil? To be honest, I don't know. But I cannot deny that it's possible.
So demons are real. But that's only part of this story. Here's the second thing I want you to write down. Jesus has authority over all evil powers. This is the good news. Jesus has authority over all evil powers. Let's look at the story and see how this plays out in this particular story. In verse 6, when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and look at this, and bowed low before him. The very first thing that this demonically possessed man, remember this man that scared everybody in his town, he was superhuman strength. The very first thing he does is bow to Jesus. And the demon's name is Legion because there were many demons in this man, but they were all at the mercy of Jesus. Listen to me closely. All demons, every evil spirit, bows at the name of Jesus Christ. I love what the scripture says here in Philippians chapter 2. God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and look at this, and under the earth, right? And every tongue confess. Go ahead and say it out loud with me. Jesus Christ is... Would you say it again? Jesus Christ is Lord. That's good news. So when it comes to the pecking order in the spiritual realm, Jesus is the man, right? Every devil in hell knows who Jesus is. The demoniac refers to Jesus as the Son of the Most High God. You say, how did he know that? Because the devil knows Scripture. Demons know the truth. That's why when they operate with lies and with deception. They're trying to deceive us because they know that if you know about what's true, they're toast. Are you getting this? Now listen, Mark chapter 5, verse 9, look at what he says. He replied, "My name is Legion," because there are many of us inside this man. And then the evil spirits begged him. Look at this. They're begging for mercy. They begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. The evil spirits begged Jesus. And I want you to notice the visual picture that this creates for us. They were begging Jesus. The original word here is parakaleo, and it's an image, it's a courtroom term. And it creates the image of somebody casting themselves on the mercy of the court because they were helpless. Now listen, evil spirits love to make us think that they're more powerful than God, right? More powerful than they really are. But please see this. This scary, demonically influenced man is begging Jesus for mercy. I want you to notice that the first thing they beg Jesus for is, don't send us to hell. Now let's stop for a second and say, hell is so bad, even demons don't want to go there. So they begged him to cast them into a herd of pigs, which Dave Reaver says is the first recorded case of suicide. I apologize. Watch this. It's getting a little serious in here. And when they begged him, I want you to notice in verse 11 that Jesus, the Bible says Jesus gave them permission. Now, this is a powerful statement here by Mark because demons need permission to operate. Let me tell you very clearly, demons need permission to operate. You have to open the door for them to operate in your life, okay? So demons are real. Jesus has power over all evil spirits, but here's the third part, is that Jesus has given believers authority over all evil powers. Well, it's getting better and better, gooder and gooder, right? Jesus has given believers, followers of Jesus, authority over every evil spirit. And this is so powerful because we've already established that evil spirits recognize Jesus. They know him as the judge, right? They cast themselves on the mercy of his judgment because the scripture says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, that when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast them out with a word. Just a word. Now watch this. So when I give my heart to Jesus, when I commit to becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, the Bible says I'm born again. The Bible says I'm a brand new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. It's okay to get excited about that, by the way. So when I decide to follow with Jesus, what the scripture says is that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in me. Christ is in me. Christ, this same Jesus now dwells in me. And guess what? Jesus has authority over every evil spirit. So now he has given that same power and that same authority to me as a follower of Jesus. Now let me illustrate it this way. How many know that authority is a delegated power? Now for instance, a policeman who directs rush hour traffic, all right, is not going to be able to step out into the traffic and stop it because of their superhuman strength. No, they have a badge. And, yeah, I got one too. They have a whistle. Now, what does the badge mean? The badge means that they have the authority of the government behind them, all right? And it's with that authority that they can stop the traffic and with the whistle. Are you getting this today? Listen, in the same way, Jesus has given us authority. Look at what he says in the scripture, Luke chapter 10. I have given you, everybody say me. I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. All right? And then Matthew 10, he says, cast out demons. And then he says in Mark 16, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. So in our confrontation with evil, we stand with the authority of Jesus Christ. Listen closely. Demons and evil spirits do not recognize you and your power. They are more powerful than you. They can destroy you. They cannot destroy Jesus. They cannot harm Jesus. Here's the good news. Christ is in us. And now, because he is in us, we have been given that same authority over every evil thing. You see, it's the Christ in us that they recognize. Now, I think if we have this authority, I think the question then becomes, why are so many people then harassed or affected by evil? I think there might be a couple reasons. Number one, perhaps you don't know this. Perhaps you've never heard this, that you don't have to be subject to evil spirits. You don't have to be subject to demons. That's one of the reasons we're preaching this today. But I think the other reason that we continue to be harassed by evil is because perhaps we don't know how to use the authority that God has given to us, or we're afraid to. Because how many know it's not just enough to have authority? You got to be willing to use it. Let me go back to the police illustration, okay? So the traffic cop has the badge, he has the whistle. But how many know if he's standing on the side of the road saying, "Hey, please stop," waving, right? They're going to do what you and I do. We're going to ignore them. We're going to keep on going. How many know that police officer has to step out into the traffic and go, and people stop. You got to step off of the sidewalk and into the traffic and say, "Stop." Now, the policeman does it in the name of the government that's standing behind my badge, but believers do it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen? Give God praise if you're glad for that here today. Let me be clear today. You have the weight of the entire government of heaven behind you as a believer in Jesus. You have the authority of the God of heaven behind you in the name of Jesus. But until you step out into the spiritual traffic, no demon is going to pay attention to you. If the rules of the government, they may be on the books, but if they're not enforced, you still have anarchy. Come on, somebody. You have to enforce the rules in order for them to take effect. That's the only way they work. And so we have been given authority from Jesus. So let's demonstrate it. I want to read you a story from the book, The Bondage Breaker. It illustrates this by the author. He says, "When I was a boy on the farm, my dad, my brother, and I would visit our neighbor's farm to share produce and labor. The neighbor had a yappy little dog that scared the socks off me. And when it came barking around the corner, my dad and brother stood their ground, but I ran. Guess who the dog chased? I escaped to the top of our pickup truck while the little dog yapped at me from the ground. Everyone except me could see that little dog had no power over me except what I gave it. Furthermore, it had no inherent power to throw me up on that pickup. It was my belief that put me up there. That dog controlled me by using my mind, my emotions, my will, and my muscles, all of which were motivated by fear. Finally, I gathered up my courage, jumped off the pickup, kicked a small rock at the butt, and lo and behold, it ran." He says, "Satan is like that little yappy dog, deceiving people into fearing him more than God. His power is in the lie." John 8:44 says he's the father of lies, who deceives the whole world, Revelation 12:9, and consequently, the whole world is under the influence of the evil one. He can do nothing about your position in Christ, but if he can deceive you into believing his lies about you and God, you're going to spend a lot of time on the top of that pickup truck. You don't have to outshout him or outmuscle him to be free of his influence. You just have to out-truth him. Believe, declare, and act upon the truth of God's word, and you will thwart Satan's strategy. It's good news. Listen, if you're here today and you've become a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a Christian. You have been given authority over every evil spirit. And I think some people may be here today and you're waking up to the reality that some of the things that are going on in your life, perhaps they might be influenced by evil and darkness. It may not be demon possession. That's a pretty serious thing. And in my opinion, it's a rare thing. But I think what's more common is how we allow the enemy to harass us. Right? And by the way, if you're a follower of Jesus, you can't be demon possessed. Jesus said, "How can a house divided against itself stand?" Remember, they were accusing him of being demon possessed. He's like, "How does that even work?" So, but there is a possibility that the enemy can attack and harass us as followers of Jesus. I think some of you might be waking up to the fact that the enemy may be working. in your life. You might be waking up in the middle of the night with night terrors. There may be just an undue amount of anxiety in your life and fear. Maybe there's just this constant source of confusion in your life. And I'm talking about more than just the normal trials of life. We all know what those are. I'm talking about people here today. There's a sense something's wrong. Something's wrong. You don't have to take it sitting down. You don't have to stay there. Some of you have been deceived by the enemy. He's been telling you that it's something that you did. You deserve this. You know, it's you, it's your family, it's this or that or the other. Remember, he is a father of lies. And God has given you and me the authority to remove those things from our lives. So, Pastor, what does that look like? Well, I love what it looks like in the movie The War Room. Did you love that scene? Where this woman becomes a follower of Jesus. She's not demon-possessed. Her family's not demon-possessed. But she decides to take authority over the spiritual attacks that are coming against her. You ought to watch this.
I don't know where you are, devil, but I know you can hear me. You have played with my mind and had your way long enough. No more. You are done. Jesus is the Lord of this house. And that means there's no place for you here anymore. So take your lies, your schemes, and your accusations and get out in Jesus' name. You can't have my marriage. You can't have my daughter. And you sure can't have my man. This house is under new management. And that means you are out. And another thing. I am so sick of you stealing my joy. But that's changing too. My joy doesn't come from my friends. It doesn't come from my job. It doesn't even come from my husband. My joy is found in Jesus. And just in case you forgot, he has already defeated you. So go back to hell where you belong and leave my family alone.
Look at that. She didn't even need a whistle. This is real. This is so real. Let me be clear. Without Jesus Christ in your life, you are subject to every evil spirit in the world. And that's a scary place to be. But with Jesus Christ, you are free from every evil spirit in this world. So can I tell you the most important thing that you can do here today is to make sure that your life is right with God. To invite Jesus in and make you a new person. And change you and transform you. Because you have no power against the enemy on your own. The only hope that you have is in Jesus Christ. You see, Pastor Wayne, I thought salvation was all about going to heaven. It absolutely is. It's about victory. It's about the cross. before we pray for people here today, we're going to pray in just a few moments for people who want deliverance and people who want healing and people who want that to happen in their life. Before we do that, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here in this room this morning, and you say, Pastor, things aren't right between me and God. I'm not following Jesus. Today, I recognize I need the Lord. I need God in my life. I have no power against these forces. I have no power against the enemy. And today, I want to be part of the family of God. Listen closely. The Bible says, how long are you going to be between two opinions? You got to decide. There is no middle ground. There is no third choice. It's heaven or hell, life or death, Jesus or the enemy. It really is that simple. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I choose Jesus. I choose Christ. I choose life. I choose heaven. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the power of the cross, you understand that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin. But it's your sin. You did it because you're not good enough to get to heaven on your own. You are hopeless and helpless. But God loved you so much that he gave you his son. And whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. I'm talking about more than just agreeing that Jesus is God. I'm talking about following him. I'm talking about making a decision to serve him today. If you're here this morning and say, Pastor, that's me, would you pray for me? I want to make things right with God today. Would you raise your hand real high right now? Raise it up real high right now. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Thank you for raising your hand. Are there others that would raise their hand? I want to make things right with God today, Pastor. Thank you so much. Thank you for raising your hand. Just one more moment. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you today. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to decide today to follow Jesus here this place. You raise your hand. I want you to pray with me. You can put your hand down. Everyone that would like to pray along with them, I want you to pray out loud with them. But if you raised your hand, I want you to pray just a little bit louder than the people next to you. This is the first step in following Jesus, is a confession of faith. It's not the only step. It's your first step. So let's take this step together. Are you ready? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, for coming to this earth and dying on a cross for the sins I committed, and I have committed sin. I'm guilty, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord, and he rose from the grave to give me new life. From this day forward, I'll follow you, Jesus. You are my Lord. Holy Spirit, would you give me power to follow Jesus every day? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you give God praise for these that have prayed to receive Christ just now? No patty caking allowed for stuff like this. Praise God. Amen. If you raise your hand, the next step now we're going to ask you is when this service is over in just a moment, I want you to go to the hub and the Next Steps tent out there. I want you to go there and we're going to give you some information. We're going to give you a Bible so that you begin to read it, read God's word. That's the truth. How many know that's the laws of the universe, right? So you got to know it so you can follow him. And we're going to talk to you about praying for you and what it means to follow Jesus Christ. So make sure you do that on your way out here today. All right. Now, I want to continue with the message for just a moment, okay? So everybody hold tight because we're going to pray here in just a moment. Now, years ago, I read a book by an evangelist from South America. His name was Carlos Anacondia. And this is a guy who traveled all over South America preaching revivals and crusades. And one of the marks of his ministry was deliverance. And every place they would go, they would have a tent for people who needed deliverance from either demonic possession or oppression. And as I was reading this book, I'll never forget it when I read this, and I went back and revisited it again this week. Look at what he says. He says, 70% of the people that come into our tent for deliverance are demonically possessed, but most of their spiritual problems are due to a lack of forgiveness. I think the biggest open door to the enemy is unforgiveness. That was the issue with the young man that we prayed for at that youth retreat I told you about. There was so much anger and bitterness toward his parents. It opened the door. Can I go ahead and tell you that if you will just forgive, if you'll let it go, if you'll say, they don't owe me anything, they owe Jesus. Jesus will repay. Jesus will take care of it. He's a good judge. I'm not the judge. And I'm not making light of this whatsoever, because some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been abandoned. Some of you have been abused. And it's wrong. It's just wrong what has happened to you. But you can't leave the door open. You got to close the door so the enemy can't wreak havoc in your life anymore. See, Pastor, how in the world can I forgive? The answer is Jesus. The one who hung on a cross and said to these people who were killing him, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I can't do that on my own. I need Jesus' help to do that. I want everybody to stand in this room. And I'm going to ask that no one be leaving. Everybody honor this very sacred time. Can I lead you in a prayer of deliverance? Everybody. Men, women, teenagers, children, I want to lead you in this prayer of deliverance. And I want you to declare it with your mouth. And then we're going to pray for people here today. Already, I think it's on the screen. Say it out loud with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come to you. I acknowledge your presence in this room and in my life. You are the only God. You are omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. I am dependent upon you. For apart from Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. I stand in the truth that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to the resurrected Christ. And because I am in Christ, I share that authority in order to make disciples and set captives free. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and lead me into all truth. I pray for your complete protection and ask for your guidance. As a child of God, seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and in the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command Satan and all evil spirits to release me in order that I can be free to know and to choose to do the will of God. I commit myself to do the will of God, and I submit my body to my Heavenly Father as a living sacrifice, an instrument of righteousness. I refuse to be intimidated by Satan's lies or to give in to any physical harassment. I am a child of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. I renounce every open door I have allowed in my life. I want to give you a moment, and I want you to renounce anything that the Holy Spirit's revealing to you that you need to renounce. Do it right now. Do it right now. Let's continue. I forgive every person who has hurt me, betrayed me, abused me, abandoned me, or maligned me. I forgive them. They don't owe me anything. They are yours. I ask you to bless them and draw them to Christ. I am trusting you to heal my heart, Lord. Thank you for healing and freedom and authority in Jesus Christ. Would you give God praise for freedom and deliverance? In the name of Jesus. I want to invite our Rafa team to come, all of those men and women who serve on our Rafa team. And guys, I want you to be over here on this side to my right, okay? Everybody on the Rafa team, I want you to come over here to this side on my right. This is a team of men and women who specifically pray about situations like this, about healing, about deliverance, about restoration, okay? And by the way, they meet every other Friday night. You can make an appointment with them if this has stirred your heart, you say, hey, I might need to talk to these people and pray with them. The information how to contact them is on your message notes, okay? If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I think that's me. I think I need deliverance. I think I'm ready for somebody to pray for me that God, nobody is saying that you're demon-possessed. That is not what we're saying. But there's stuff going on in your life. You need deliverance. I want you to come in just a moment. I want you to come to these people, and they're going to pray for you. I'd like the rest of our prayer team to come, if you would, and stand across the front, pastors, elders, small group leaders, and anybody else that would come. And I want you to come and stand. And what we're going to do is we're just going to close today's service with a time of prayer. If you need prayer for anything, prayer for a financial miracle or just wisdom from the Lord. Maybe you're one of those that prayed to receive Christ just now and you want somebody to pray with you right now. And we're going to invite you to come and to pray, okay? You can't preach a message like this and not give God a chance to do a work in people's hearts and lives, amen? Amen? Now, let me tell you, we're not going to have a formal dismissal to this service. So I want you to give everybody a chance to come forward, all right? And then if you need to leave, feel free to go. But please, 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 honor the Spirit in this room. Would you do it? Honor the presence of the Lord. I'm going to ask that you don't talk in this room until you get out into the hub or something like that. Is that okay with everybody? I believe God's going to do a work today. I said, I believe God's going to do a work today of healing and restoration and power in the name of Jesus. Amen? So Pastor Steve's going to sing a song. If you need prayer for any reason, I want you to come right now. Come right now. Come on, come right now. Let's pray. Let's believe. No formal dismissal here today. Let's seek Jesus. Amen. Come and let's pray together.
Break every chain that's holding me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Deliverer.